morning. You wouldn't know we were in the dead of summertime. Everybody up here doing their best. We thank the Lord for that. Won't you open your Bible to the book of Matthew? I'm going to take a short text this morning, and as time allows, maybe run a few other verses. I'd like for you to go to Matthew chapter 6, what's sometimes called the Sermon on the Mount. And we recognize it's dispensationally having more to do with the time when the kingdom comes than it does right now, but we can draw some spiritual application from one verse. I want you to look at one verse here this morning. And if I was going to give this message a title for the tape room up there, I'd call it Behold the Birds. I didn't say it was for the birds. I said Behold the Birds. Amen. And we look at it here in chapter 6. The Lord Jesus is talking. Verse 26 of chapter 6. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? I want to talk to you a little bit on this subject, draw some conclusions from what we can learn in beholding, as it were, the birds. I recognize, basically, now God's Spirit can speak to anybody, anytime, any way He chooses. But physically and outwardly, God has chosen three things that He has spoken to man through. To begin with, He speaks through creation. Creation is a witness. It didn't happen by accident. It didn't evolve. It's God's making. Amen? So creation has a message. Also, in the Old Testament, in the Jewish days, God set up a tabernacle, and every part of that tabernacle, every color, every bit of it had a witness. It was an object lesson, if you please, to the Jews, for the Jews to pass it on to the rest of the world, and so God used the tabernacle to speak through. In our day and for the church age, He has given us His written word. He's given us the Bible. So you have those three major things, and we can learn something from creation, everything that God created. It amazes me. Science today is able to find out DNA and some other things, and the little creatures, you know, that just the creative power of God and the detail of it, it just beyond what our minds can fathom. Now, in the text here, it's talking about the fowls. Jesus is teaching a lesson. He's setting up on the Mount of Olives here, not a Mount of Olives, but on the Sermon on the Mount. I've been there. It's a grassy hill, and it's a beautiful view. It's almost what you'd call an automatic creation for an auditorium where He could be down front. The people could sit on the hill around, and it would be a place where His voice could be heard, and a beautiful scene, and maybe it was. Maybe as He's teaching them, He's looking over, maybe there's some birds on the ground. And He says, Behold the fowls. Now, I'd like to think they were beautiful birds, songbirds or something, but maybe not. They might have been ravens, because when you get over to Luke chapter 12, and it calls them ravens over there, here it just calls them fowls. I don't know, but He used them for an object lesson as He was able to point out. I believe they were there as He was talking. Maybe they were songbirds. We like songbirds, don't we? You ever see Zippity-Doo-Dah with a bluebird on your shoulder? Amen? Life's not quite that way, is it? But you know what I'm talking about. We'd like for it to be that way. Here recently, we've got birds in the news, and I kind of feel sorry for them with all that oil. I hate to see them waste all that oil. I could waste it in my gas tank a lot better. Amen? But it's not, I know it's a serious thing. I'm not making too light of it. Except it's in the news. We recognize that. And a lot of folks like birds more than others. Some have pets. I've seen folks with parakeets and clean cages and dirty cages and parrots, talking parrots, and minor bird. Anybody know what a minor bird is? Yeah, he talks better than a parrot, I think, when they get them, whatever they do to them. I remember one time as a young fellow, I had a service route, and I had to go in this place of business. And I went in this business, and the lady behind the desk said, do you know what, told me about things. And then she left the room, went in the back of the building. And I'm around there busy, and I hear this clear voice speak up, and it says, what's your name? I looked around. I didn't see anything. Didn't see anybody. And I thought maybe somebody was peeking around the door. But I knew I heard it. Pretty soon it said again, "What's your name?" And I still didn't say anything. Directly it says, "What's the matter? You can't talk?" Well, I put in a search that time, and over behind the counter in a cage was a minor bird. Black with an orange beak, looked a lot like a crow except with a very orange looking beak. And so when the lady come back in the room, I talked to her about it. She said, "Oh yeah, that's his favorite thing, is to ask folks, what's the matter? Can't they talk?" And you know, kind of funny. Now, we know the Bible teaches there's good birds and bad birds, there's clean birds and unclean birds. We might say good birds, bad birds, dirty birds. I don't know. I know one thing. If I wash my car, it is amazing how quick they find it. I hate, though, to buy a carport just for what birds do. Don't you? They find it just as sure as you wash it. Seems that way. Seems that way. But you know, the liberals use them too, don't they? This liberal thing. I probably told you this, but I was preaching in a church just a couple of weeks ago down in South Florida. And beautiful little auditorium. The plans call for not only the auditorium, but a nice Sunday school building. They had plenty of acreage, little trees and stuff around. And the place where they'd built had been plotted as a subdivision. But there was very few houses in it. And I asked the preacher, "What's going on here?" He said, "I'll tell you what's going on." He said, "They stopped us from building the Sunday school building, and they stopped the houses from going up because a scrub jay has a nest out here in the woods." I said, "How long's that been?" He said, 2 or 3 years. I said, "Y'all can't do it." He said, "We don't know what to do. They won't let us do a thing." I thought, boy, two brothers and two Red Ryder BB guns. Man, wouldn't that take care of things? But we've gone crazy. We're what Romans 1 talks about, the worshiping the creature more than the creator. Their tree-hugging crowd today is doing so much. By the way, that oil well wouldn't even be out there if it wasn't for them. They wouldn't be drilling out in the ocean. They'd be drilling on the land where they're supposed to be drilling. Amen? So I know who to lay the blame at. I got some others too, but I know who really got the whole mess started. Amen? But you know, there's some truths we can learn here. I take this text right here and look at it. I can learn something from the Lord intends for us to. He says, "Behold, the fowls are there. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns." He's saying the very thing that man worries over the most, and that's his security. That's whether he's going to eat tomorrow or not, whether he's going to have something for old age or not. He said, "Look at the birds and have peace. Don't worry about it. The Creator knows about you." That's what he's saying here. I mean, in the scene right here, he's saying, "You fellas are worried whether I'm going to feed you with loaves and fishes today. Look at the birds. Somebody's taking care of them. They're not concerned. They haven't worried about their Social Security program." I mean, he's telling us to have peace, that God's in charge. And humanly, there's a lot to be concerned about today, folks. I understand that. The economy, nobody knows what it's going to do. I've never seen such a crazy thing. Our freedoms are going down the drain. I understand that. The globalistic plan of those in power is coming like a train down the track, brother. It is barreling down on us. And it is coming in a big way. It's interesting to me, when I get over to Revelation chapter 18 around verse 2, I find that verse 1 talks about Babylon. It talks about in verse 2 that Babylon is filled with foul spirits, evil birds, as it were, in a cage. You know what? Babylon is typical of the one world global government that's being put together right now. And God is going to bring it to destruction. But in the meantime, he compares it to an evil, foul spirit and to a bird in a cage, a bad bird, if you please. And God is saying, that's the way I see what man thinks is his utopia that he's trying to bring in right now. There's a lot that we can fuss about and fear, and there's some good fear, I understand that. But he's saying, have peace in the midst of this thing. Peace that passes understanding. The peace that my creation has that trusts me. And he uses the birds here for an example. We got some things to face. Enemy that we won't recognize. You hear me say that all the time. It's amazing today how evil that crowd is and how we keep sugarcoating them and whitewashing them. Did you see in the news this week in Afghanistan where they actually, Al-Qaeda, actually hung a 7-year-old boy because they accused him of spying? Do we want their Sharia law over here? Now you think about a 7-year-old kid hung for an example because they said he spied, he took a message, or he said, folks, that's the crowd we're dealing with. Except for God and the peace he gives me in my heart, I'll tell you something, that'd have me very disturbed. If you're listening to me today and you're a lost man, you don't intend to get saved, and you're out here in this world, I want to tell you something. You better get you some guns. You better get yourself in position because some bad guys are coming after you. As simple as that. Sorry, but that's the truth. But you know what? The Lord says we can have peace. Say, peace in the midst of what's going on? Yeah. It was a bad day in the day of the prophet Elijah, remember? Remember how that he went in and put his finger in King Ahab's face and told him it wouldn't rain? Remember how he ran out there and hid, and while famine was on the land, and if you please, recession was on the land, what did God do? He sent the ravens to feed Elijah down by the brook. Now the ravens are a dirty bird. Do you understand God can use the wrong side to take care of the good side? Oh, he's always been good at that. He'd make good out of evil all the time. And I don't know, the ravens apparently brought T-bone steaks to Elijah. You say, is that in the King James? No, I just rewrote it. Everybody else is doing it. Not really. Somebody said, it does say meat, don't it? The ravens brought him meat. Where in the world they find meat? Probably off of Ahab's table. He's probably the only one that had any. The king, probably the only one that was eating steak during those times. But God used the ravens to feed Elijah. Now, you know, God is still the same God that took care of Elijah. I'm saying to you, we can learn, behold the birds, we can have peace over worry. I'll go over to Luke chapter 6, and I know the recession thing, and I know preachers are screaming because the offerings are down, and the program's got to be cut, and all that. But I look over in Luke, and you know what? The Bible hadn't changed. It says the same thing. It tells me and you, it says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom? Don't say men, lost man. Says God can use men to give. And then look at the last part. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured unto you again. Folks, I want to say to you, in the so-called recession time, if you've been blessed to have a job, don't cut back on God. Find somewhere else to cut back. Don't cut back on God. Because if you do, you're taking yourself out from under his umbrella of promise and his umbrella of blessings. I say to you, God, in an evil time, like he took care of Elijah, can take care still of his people, and he can use men, even if they be lost men, to give unto you. In fact, that's the principle you find in the Bible. If you were to go over to Proverbs chapter Proverbs chapter 22, I believe is where I want to go. You read a verse over there. Let's go to Proverbs 13 and verse 22. It says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. Now that's his grandchildren. Good man leaveth an inheritance unto his children's children, verse 22. Watch the next statement. And the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Do you get that? That's God's word I just read to you. God can take what some evil person laid up and use it for good. Somebody said to me one time, said, preacher, if that guy come into your church and he just got that money wrong, he had won the lottery and you don't believe in gambling, and he puts it in the offering plate, would you take it? I said, you bet I would. Devil's had it long enough. Let's use it for God. Amen. Amen. There's a principle there, though. Do you understand that? the ravens got it, the meat from somewhere, probably from the wealthier side of the road, and God can still do that to take care of his needs down here. In fact, you follow that principle on through. You'll find out in the book of Job around chapter 27, Job's talking about the sinner laying up silver as dust and creating raiment as common as clay. But then Job makes a statement like this, and he says, but the just shall put it on. The just shall wear it. In other words, let the evil crowd build it all. Did you ever follow that through? This verse is dealing more with the kingdom age than it is now. And in the kingdom age, when God's people are ruling, bless God, a lot that was stored up for evil is going to be used for good. I really believe that's going to take place. I look and say, well, behold the birds. What can we learn? Well, the book of Ecclesiastes tells us we ought to understand the end of this thing. If you were to go with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, I read a short text now, so don't feel imposed on that I'm asking you to use the Bible. Go to Ecclesiastes with me. Here's some verses you ought to have marked anyway. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, pick it up in verse 11. And it says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Now get that. Somebody does wrong and God doesn't zap them with lightning right then. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Watch it now. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But, opposite truth now, but it shall not be well with the wicked. Neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. You ought to mark those three verses. Next time you get to crying in your crying towel about woe is me, and somebody don't serve God like I do, and somebody's out here in sin, and somebody's out here doing evil, and yet they seem to be blessed, read those verses again. Because you need to understand how it turns out. It's the end of a thing that counts. It's not even the beginning. It's not even the middle. It's how does it finish up? How does it turn out? And you think about it. We Christians, we're in a hostile world. You do understand that, don't you? You ought to. We're in a world that crucified God when he showed up to take our part on the cross of Calvary. If he came again the same way, they'd crucify him again. He's not coming in the same way. He's not going to allow it again. But if he would, they'd do it again. They do it every day in the news. They do it every day in school books. They do it every day in all kind of ways, attacking the deity and blaspheming Jesus Christ. You know I'm telling you the truth there. This whole world, James says, if we're the friend of the world, we're the enemy of God. Now there's an enmity there. And as Christians, we choose the short range or the long range. We have to be careful. Remember, I'm on the subject of birds. Noah sent out some birds from the ark, didn't he? Remember after the flood waters, and Noah began to think it's about time, the rain has quit, it's about time for this thing to settle down. And he wondered if there was any land anywhere. And you remember what he did? He sent out a raven, didn't he? Raven's an unclean bird. What'd the raven do? He just kept flying and looking. He just went on. He settled for what was out there. But Noah sent out a dove too. And the dove returned. The clean bird returned. He sent her out again. She returned again and finally came with a leaf in her mouth and showing Noah that it was okay, that there was land out there somewhere. But I will say, like the raven, like the dirty bird and the clean bird, we're making choices. Choose on the clean side. Choose on God's side. Be like the dove. Don't settle for just whatever this old world's got out there. Get the peace of God. Dove knew his way back to the ark and back to Noah. And you and I need to understand we're making a choice just like those two birds did. One of them had a dirty nature, the raven. The other one, the raven will eat something dead side the road. You understand that? A dove won't do that. Understand? Dirty bird, clean bird, no doubt about it. I want to be on the clean side, don't you? I want to represent God's choices. And God's choice in this old filthy world we live in is to walk a clean path through it. Hey, I know it's not popular. You say, you're saying everything but separation. That's the word I hate. I know it. I know you hate it, but it's in the Bible. God says, come out from among them and be you what? Separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And behold, I will receive you. Amen. God's care is pictured in this verse too. Listen, I see he wants us to have peace over worry. And I learn of God's care, because these birds don't sow and they don't reap. Somebody takes care of them. They don't store up in barns. Somebody takes care of them. God takes care of them. I look over in Matthew chapter 10 and looked at just a few pages over from our text, if you want to look at it. Look over in chapter 10, verse 29. And Jesus is talking. He's told them, don't fear them that can kill the body and not able to kill the soul. He told them to fear them that's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Then he says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. Now, wait a minute. God knows about every little bird that gets caught in the grill of your car. Yeah. Knows about every little bird that some cat climbs up in the tree and gets. Yeah. Yeah, he knows it all. Said one of them can't fall without him knowing it. Ben Franklin is given credit for quoting in the Continental Congress when they were deadlocked and couldn't get going in the beginning of our nation. He's credited for calling them to prayer, and he used this very statement. He said, if a sparrow cannot fall without God knowing about it, how can a nation arise? And call that Continental Congress to prayer. And that's a wonderful historical moment there when they had to bring God in. Our problem today is we're kicking God out instead of keeping him in to that he blessed to begin with. And sad truth there. But the point is, God is saying he cares about sparrows. Now, if you read the next verse on up there, it'll read in verse 31, fear ye not, therefore ye are of more value than many sparrows. Jesus is saying, my father can look after a sparrow that falls. He knows about you. He knows all about you. He's saying God cares about you. That's the big word. God cares. The 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, folks, we love to read that verse and quote it, but it's something else to practice it. It's something else to really carry it out, because you see, that's talking about trust. When I don't understand how God's going to do it, I just believe he is going to do it. I believe whatever he lets come my way is going to be best for me in the long run. Now, that's where the trust comes in. That's where the faith comes in. You know, too many times we have Jesus, even we that genuinely know him as Savior, and yet we're carrying a lot of burdens on our own because we won't let him carry them for us. It's funny, but I remember the story of years ago. Old days, a man was driving his wagon, mule down the road, and a man was walking, a man he knew. A man had a 100-pound sack of potatoes on his shoulder. He was laboring down the road with him. And his friend pulled up with the wagon and said, get in, man, get in. It's too hot to be walking down this road loaded down like that. The man got in the wagon, and the wagon began to go down the road, but he still had his potatoes on his shoulder. And the driver said, man, won't you lay those things down? He said, if you were good enough to give me a ride, I ought to at least help carry the potatoes. And he said, no idiot like that. I know a bunch of idiots like that. Oh, they trust God, but they don't ever give him the sack of potatoes. They're on the wagon. They've been born again. They're on the way to heaven, but they're carrying burdens God would care for them if they'd let him. Amen. Too bad. Most of us have carried some potatoes we shouldn't have to carry. But the truth is, God's showing he cares for us. Even in the little verse, if he can take care of the birds, he can take care of us. We're more valuable than the birds, the scripture says. Then I see a picture of redemption when I behold the birds. There's a chapter, I won't be able to go into it, but if you were to study the book of Leviticus a little bit, God spoke more in the book of Leviticus directly to man than he did any other book in the Bible. Yet it's the most, probably one of the least read in the Bible. In the book of Leviticus, you have all the details concerning the offerings and the sacrifices. And you have a case where a man has leprosy. And leprosy is a type of sin. It's a picture of sin. It's an awful disease. And there's a case there where it deals with the cleansing of the leper in Leviticus chapter 14. And the man with leprosy is supposed to go to the priest. And the priest is going to make an offering for him. And the priest takes two birds. And he takes those birds, live birds, and he kills one under running water in a basin. And he takes the blood in the basin of the dead bird, and he sprinkles the live bird with the blood. And then he lets the live bird go free. You understand the picture? The picture of the dead bird is Jesus. The dead bird is God's Son that came down through the clean air of heaven. Defenseless as one of those doves, he laid down his life. No man took it from him. He gave it. He laid it down. He became our sacrifice for our sin of leprosy, for our disease of being deprived and depraved and lost in sin. And Jesus came down as the bird that was killed, that shed his blood. That's who he was. But then the blood is sprinkled on the live bird. And the priest takes the live bird and he sets him free. Amen. And the live bird is my soul. Amen. And your soul, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. And we're set free. And we fly out into the clean air, as it were. Yes, we're on our way to heaven because one gave his life for us and shed his blood. Oh yes, what a wonderful, wonderful picture. You know, we sang the song, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Oh yes, the two birds was a picture of the sacrifice that God made, that one could be cleansed, that one could go free. I remember many years ago reading a story of a preacher, I don't know, up north, one of the big cities. You might recognize his name, A.J. Gordon. He probably was not an independent Baptist, I don't know, but a good preacher, A.J. Gordon. He was walking down the street in the inner city, not too far from his church building, and he met a little old street kid, dirty little old street kid. And as he come around the corner, the street kid saw the preacher and he tried to hide something behind his back. And the preacher realized he'd made an effort to hide something, so he made a point to stop and face him. And he said, "Son, what do you got behind your back?" And he said, "Oh, preacher, it's nothing." He said, "Yeah, what have you got behind your back?" And the little boy brought out a little wire homemade cage. And in that cage was two little old birds. Little old, well, I used to call them town birds when I was a country boy. As a kid, sparrows. You see them, they're around the church here, everywhere. Sparrows. Two little old sparrows in the cage, and they were fluttering and they were in desperation. He said, "Well," he said, "preacher, I caught these little birds." And the preacher said, "Well, what are you going to do with them, son?" And he said, "Well, they're not worth anything." He said, "I thought I might get a penny or two for them from somebody," but he said, "I'll probably just kill them or give them to the cat." And the preacher said, "Son, what would you take for those birds?" He said, "Preacher, they're just little sparrows." He said, "They're not worth anything." And the preacher said, "Son," said, "would you take two bits?" The little boy said, "Oh, preacher," he said, "I'd give you the cage too for two bits." And the preacher pulled the coin out of his pocket and he gave it to the little boy, and the little boy ran off. Man, he was rich. He'd made a good deal. As he ran off, A.J. Gordon was thinking about Leviticus chapter 14. He was thinking about the two birds, the one dead bird and the live bird, and the blood that represented the blood of Jesus Christ. And he thought how that pictures redemption being bought back, the sinner being bought back. We were God's by rights of creation. We belonged to him, but we went astray. We turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord sent his Savior, his clean bird as it were, to become sin for us and die in our place and pay the price and redeem us, buy us back to the Creator. He was thinking about all that was in the picture of those two birds in Leviticus 14. And he said, I took the cage and I got the little wire door open. And I held it up, and he said, just for a moment, the bird settled down. And almost like in shock, they could see the doors open. And finally, in a big effort, out they came, and into the clear blue they flew. And the old preacher said, I could have sworn, as they flew off, I heard them singing, redeemed, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He said, I know they didn't sing it, but he said, in my heart, I was singing it. You understand? Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's what Jesus came and done for you and I. Shed his blood. Died for you and I that we might live. That's what he did for us. You may be here today and you don't know it, but you're in a cage. And the door is shut. I want to tell you, Jesus is the only one who can open the door. When he died on the cross and rose again, he opened the door. The door is open. Those little birds were shocked for just a minute to see the cage door open, and then they took it. How many of you have been looking at the door? How long? Do you know it's open? Do you know you have a choice to go free if you will? When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood is applied to your sin. Your name is written in heaven. God's opened the door. And hey, you can fly out free. And one day, he'll come back and you'll go home with him. Never to be caged again. Never to need your sins paid for anymore. You go free. You go free. Behold the birds, Jesus said. Behold the birds. Behold the fowls. Hey, they got peace. They know God cares. And he used the birds to picture redemption, being bought back to him. That's what you have in Jesus Christ. He's the Redeemer. This morning, have you let him redeem you? Have you seen the doors open? Have you stepped out? Have you gone free? If you're not free today, it's nobody's fault but yours. Jesus will set you free. He paid the price that allows him to do that. I pray today that you'd let him be your Savior, that you'd choose him, that you'd step through the open door. He's the open door to heaven. Will you receive him? I pray you will. Let's bow our heads.